Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory to Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Healer.
Good morning. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Hi, I'm your host, Ken Burrell, and this is the Healing Light Show. So glad you decided to join us today. This program today, we're going to be featuring a young man that I just actually met yesterday. Let me clarify that. I got to see him and talk to him yesterday for the first time. I met him through a good friend of mine, Dr. James H. Cathcart. And invited him to be part of our program. He is Prophet Isaac Austin. He's originally from, he was born in Pontiac, Michigan, but he's a native of Phoenix City, Alabama, which is really funny because my mom and dad are from Alabama. I was born in Michigan, but now I'm back in Alabama where I belong. But it's good to have him with us this morning. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to bring him on right now. Ladies and gentlemen, then let me introduce to you my newest brother. I'll tell you what, I was watching a video of that we had made yesterday. We did a live Facebook healing session. And as I was watching that, I went, you know what? I really like this guy. So let me introduce my new brother to you, Prophet Isaac Austin. Good morning, bro.
Good morning, brother. How are you doing today?
I am healthy, happy, terrific. Can't complain in any way, shape, manner, or form. Blessed going in, blessed going out. But I do thank you for asking.
Thank you. That's awesome. It's glad to. I'm glad to be alive today. I'm blessed as well. And I just want to thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come on to your platform and enjoy it with you. I know that it's going to be a powerful moment that we're spending today even.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to talk a little bit about yesterday before we let you fly, and we're just going to give you freedom this morning to speak as you want. I also see that we do have a call-in already this morning. A little bit later on, person, I'm going to give your last four digits of your phone number, 0090. We'll give you an opportunity to speak if you want to, and if you don't want to, that's okay too. Just don't hang up on us, okay? We want to keep you listening. Yesterday morning, we tried something I've never done before. Apostle Teresa Sharp, myself, Rob Costello, and this young man right here, Prophet Isaac Austin, we did a Facebook Live healing session. And wow, it ended up being just beyond awesome. Do you think so, Isaac?
It was powerful. The Holy Spirit moved during that during the session, and it, yes, definitely powerful. My God.
People got healed and delivered. Words of knowledge came forth. It was just, whew. And it was 2 hours long. I don't usually do anything for 2 hours. Except sleep, maybe.
it was a quick 2 hours.
Yeah, it went fast. It really did. I do believe we're going to do it again. Response and the views I saw, you know, we had, I think last time I checked, we were just over 200 views, 100 and some odd comments. And for something that wasn't, you know, that was really just off the cuff when we started, it ended up being a blessing to I think, everybody that listened. So,
yes.
Now I'm going to do what I warned you I was going to do. I'm going to turn things over to you, brother. You've got the floor. Speak whatever God's put on your heart, and I'll be sitting here listening. It's all up to you, buddy.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, brother, you know, I know you'll keep me on pace, and don't let me fly too far off as I may get caught up in God's spirit, because I'm definitely, I believe I'm hearing from God wanting us to take a look at the relevancy of discipleship. And it seems like in today's society, and it's from talking to people throughout America, friends, families, and even new brothers and sisters in Christ as I meet them, and we get on to the topic of wanting to go to church, big churches, medium churches, small churches. Is small groups really that important? And even going to mentorship or reaching back to the elders, those who God has sent us to and that can trust us to have a faith on because of the important. We know that we're under the spotlight, you know, no matter if we're high in the kingdom, medium in the kingdom, as we want to say, or just a small church member. But the relevancy of discipleship is what God is having us go back and get to the root of it, as we're seeing that as the COVID-19 is shaking up the world. We see how it is important that we get away from our church doctrine. We get away from glorifying the church building. As we have been speaking, brother, you know, the importance of a sound doctrine of Jesus Christ is so relevant that the discipleship is still important. I remember when I read when Jesus sent out the 70 and they returned over in Luke 10, chapter 10, verses 17 through 20, because we have seen how they have placed our gifts on display by giving Jesus Christ the glory. You know, the discipleship, not getting ahead of myself. Discipleship is so relevant, and we got to see that we got to get back to teaching what Jesus Christ has taught us to do. We have to get back into wanting to fellowship, and it has to be a balance. Sometimes we spend every day of the week in the church building, and I just believe that God is saying, is that my objective? Is that my motive? What? I didn't ask you to do that. You know, understanding the church, we need to have meetings. We need to have Bible study. We need to have Sunday school. You know, how did that get taken away from our toolbox that God has given us? You know, we have taken a Wednesday Bible study and turned it into a church, a full-blown-out church gathering, when we're not even keeping in perspective how God wants us to spend time with our families as well. The working environment has already absorbed most of our time, because instead of working less, the market field has stressed us so much that they want us to work all day because of technology, cell phones and computers and laptops, to working less. Some countries had it where you work 4 days out the week. America has just wiped that off the market, off the display of opportunity to do it. But the COVID-19 has shaken that up. But sticking to the script, these are some of the things that we should focus about and saying, am I in the right fellowship? Am I under the right teaching? Am I taking what I'm learning while I am in church fellowship? And do I even want to apply that in my life? Am I taking the word and applying it in my life, which will help, you know, increase my faith and my trust in God? We have denominations that we don't even want to fellowship with, and they are preaching, professing, and confessing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we're not even fellowshipping with them. Okay, just because we're Baptist, just because we're AME, CME, ABC, EFD, all these man-made denominations, why can't we get back into the Christian arena and say, Jesus Christ is the center, let us all come in fellowship? Because what I'm going to share with fellowship, what discipleship do to us. Fellowship is discipleship. We all are encouraging each other, and we're coming in, strengthening each other, and then we're supposed to go back into the world and win souls for Jesus Christ. What are we missing? And I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to me on this, because I have shared it with so many others, and they tell me, brother, you're dead on. Okay, getting back to where we have put we have put the gift of God on display, and we have taken away the glorification of Jesus Christ, and discipleship would teach us how to remain humble. Okay, you have some people that's sitting out there that's shouting on the rooftop, and Brother Ken, you and I talked about this, that, hey, wake up, where's Jesus Christ? Where's his glory? Why are we boasting man up and not Jesus Christ? See, the 70 went out. Jesus sent the 72s and 70s out. And I'm over in Luke 10, 17 through 20, sound doctrine in scripture. This verse says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subjected to us in your name. And he said to them, Jesus, And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the serpents are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. This is what Jesus Christ said to the disciples, the 70, when they returned. He said, wait a minute. I've given you that power, authority, and dominion to trample all the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I've given you this. Why are we taking what Jesus has given us and taking all the credit for it, and we're having all of these conferences? And I'm not saying that they're relevant. We need to have conference and revival, but, you know, we need to have a men's conference, women's conference, and we need to fellowship, but we don't need to put man on display. We have the same schedules year-round. We know when the speaker is going to come in on some of these fellowships that we're having, and there's no new oil flowing through. Discipleship would teach us to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, and instruct us, and lean not to our own understanding. His ways is not our ways, and the way we're doing things is being shaken today, and we thank God for the awakening of the shaking of what's been going on. You know, he allowed things to happen. We understand this, but he's telling us to get back to the root of discipleship, my brothers and sisters, in this radio world. Allow the Holy Spirit to move us and guide us, and let our gates, our eyes, our ears, and our mouth protect those, and let that be the power to give God the glory and to lead in us, and protect these gates, protect what we speak, protect what we hear, protect what we see, and allow God to sharpen them as he's baptizing us with the Holy Spirit. But I say that to say that we have to come off a display and allow God to elevate us, allow the Holy Spirit to speak for us as we're going about doing God's business. Now, I don't want to get too rushed because I'm getting excited. I get excited when I hear his word and read his word. I celebrate that because that is a blessing. But discipleship is relevant because we know in discipleship, and here's how we have to allow discipleship to take place. The disciples, becoming a disciple is so important, and I want to say that. We have to stop running from fear of being a disciple. We counted up the cost, and we saw what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, after the cross, and when he went down and defeated the pit of hell, and now we know that he's sitting at the right-hand side of God on the throne. Woo! Calvary, baby. I'm getting excited. We know that that came with a cost. Our lives come with a cost. That when we said that when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, my God, we knew what the cost was going to be. We knew we were going to have to let some things go. We were going to have to let some people go. We knew we were going to have to let some places that we went go, all that go. We knew that. That's the cost. But we know the reward, my God, is greater. When we get to the heavens, when we get there, our reward is gonna be there waiting on us. We don't have to wait for the reward. He gives us the benefits and rewards right here on earth, my God, because we are his kings and queens, hallelujah, his disciples. So we know that the suffering, the pain and suffering is going to crush us, which is a good way, and that our character and our attitude is going to become much greater. See, that's where the fruit of the Spirit comes into place. That's our character and our attitude. A lot of us in discipleship teach us that we are remaining humble and then moving in a loving manner. That's where And love comes with hard love and good and soft love. So the charismatic people, okay, we have to tell them that hell is real. We have a
Amen.
Lot of believers brother, that believe in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then we have some brothers and sisters that just believe in the New Testament, and we have some brothers and sisters that believe in, I believe in this word today and that word tomorrow, because I'm still living the life I want to live. We have to allow our lives to be led and lived by Jesus Christ, our God, our Father, our brother, our sister, and the Holy Spirit, my God. And that crushing comes with a good thing, because now operating on us on the fruit of the Spirit. See?
Yep.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and my favorite, self-control. It starts with love, and it ends with self-control, which we know, you know, some of the overseers, the leaders, don't want to teach on self-control because they are out of control themselves, or they don't really know how to teach on it. But if they go back and allow God to give them that revelation, his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding on it, we can teach it. See, some leaders want us, and God help us, want to be in control of the themselves and their members. So some of them just put their thumbs on the members and don't allow them to blossom into the man or woman of God that God wants them to do. So they suppress them, slavery, going back to Egypt, and not over into the land flowing with milk and honey. See, that land of milk and honey, when we start trusting God, or the obedience, doing obedience and surrendering, we will be able to say, okay, here's my self-control. My self-control is for me not to do the things that I ask God to I repented for and turned away from it, and I ask God to take that away. See, when that's that self-control part, okay? Self-control is God give all of us human beings the opportunity and the Spirit led to be able to make wise choices. But relying on him he say, God, okay, I don't want to do anything that will take me alignment out of this divine flow that you're having me flow in. That divine flow is allowing us, my God, to be able to see with his eyes, to be able to hear with our ears, and to speak with power. Hallelujah. God said, my mouth, my words is power. It's like a hammer. You'll be able to crush anything that the enemy is trying to speak into your ears and take away your mouth with. When you speak, it'll be like a hammer, because we're made in his image. Woo! So when we speak, we're crushing what the enemy is saying, my God. So those are the things, my brother, of the character and the attitude that God wants us to flow in discipleship. And this is where we come, where we've been taught. We all should be under a man or woman of God that's going to teach us and lead us in the discipleship, so that way we can all be encouraged together. We have those lone rangers out there that I don't need an overseer. I don't need an accountability partner. I don't need a mentor. If I'm telling you, if we had those trusted agents that God can have us to reach back to. See, brother, we have met a James Kidcart.
He
came in our lives to disciple us, to not put his thumb on us, praise God, but to say, hey, get back into God's face and believe that your identity that you're walking in is who God says you're walking in, and you don't have to be like somebody else. We now know, now we can go, because we experienced that, how we've been cast away, talked about, lied on, backbitten, slandered, all those things that if we go down further in Galatians, we have, because of the God, we have endured that type of love, which is not of God, amen? we see when we go through something, we now use that to help equip others. We flip the script on the enemy and say, no, brothers and sisters, we can pray for you for healing and deliverance because God has healed us and delivered us. And we know God is a Jehovah Rapha. He's our healing God. And you too, yes, if you believe, you are healed because we are believing for you. That's discipleship. That's where we need to be under someone that's teaching the word of God and teaching it in a manner that God wants us to be self-sufficient in him so that we can go out and win souls for him when we're strengthened by God. Amen. Discipleship,
amen,
is so important. Oh, come on, brother.
Amen. Amen.
Am I in the ballpark, brother?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. May I interject a thought or two?
Yes, sir.
I believe with every fiber of my being, a great awakening is about to come upon this whole world, that the power of Jesus Christ is going to spread like a fire across this,
yes,
world. I believe it's going to start very, very soon. And one of the things that I have seen that I've seen, Holy Spirit's on me now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have to go forward this now. I believe with all my heart that all these denominational differences and all these silly quarrels,
mm-hmm,
over stuff, all this is going to go to the,
yes,
wayside. It has to go to the wayside because guess what? There are no denominations in heaven. There is one God, one King,
mm-hmm,
one Savior, and one bride. And as one bride, we are going to have the wrinkles and the blemishes removed from the bride of Christ. Why? Because he's coming for a pure bride, not one that's fighting and arguing with each other, not one that's, you know, the original sin is pride. And that pride is, I'm right, you're wrong thinking. And that pride has been prevalent throughout history. That's why we have denominational differences. It's all based on pride. It is not based on the Spirit of God, because God wants us to be unified in one accord.
Come on.
Am I making sense?
Yes.
So,
yes.
And don't take me wrong on how I'm saying this. But it's going to happen if you're going to participate or not. God is still going to do what God is going to do because it is his word. And it doesn't matter if you agree with what he's doing. If you want to be part of it, it's up to you. Jump on in. He wants you there. And if you don't agree with it, guess what? You don't have to. It's that simple. But if you're going to be the bride of Christ, you're going to take all this, and I call it silliness, I call it stupid thinking, actually. I'm tired of seeing people. I'm tired of seeing people. Yes, we are supposed to gather together to edify,
mm-hmm,
one another. Okay?
Come on.
But I'll tell you
Come on now,
the true servants of God, and I don't care what title you put on yourself or somebody else has put on you, the true servants of God understand that they are servants, that they are not to be lifted up. Now, see it happen in a lot of churches. I see where people just, you know, wait hand and foot on the so-called apostles and the so-called prophets. And in my thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong, Isaac, but in my thinking, if you are a true prophet and a true apostle, you aren't going to want nobody waiting hand and foot on you. You're going to want to wait hand and foot on them. You're going to want to serve them.
Come on.
Okay?
Come on.
And that's my thinking.
Yes,
I believe with all my heart that my job on this earth is to lift others up. My job on this earth is to share the knowledge that God has given me with others, to share the gifts that God has given to others. You know, freely I receive and freely I give. You know, I spend a lot of time praying for other folk. But you know what? I see miracles. I see more miracles. I told my wife one day, I said, you know what? We're spoiled. There are people out there who've never seen a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of miracles.
Right.
But
right.
What I always do, and I always will, as long as this body has breath in it, I'm always going to give the glory and honor to Jesus Christ, because I'm afraid to touch his cord. That ain't mine. I ain't touching that. That belongs to him and him alone.
Look, I will.
You hear what I'm saying?
Brother, I refuse to get ahead of God again in my life. I made the mistake, right?
Oh, you do?
And moved too fast.
You did that too? You're not the only one, brother.
And messed it all up. Come on, brother. And
right.
I've learned to say, God, is this for me to do? Is this for me to say? Is this for me to go? Because the peace of God, the rest of God, is a beautiful thing. And I don't want to make nothing up, you know. I don't want to make up something to do, somewhere to go, something to say. I have learned, because of his assurance, is to just rest in his glory, rest in his presence. That's where, you know, and when it's time to go out and do what he tells me to do, I know it of God. I knew, you know, to come on your radio blog, I knew it was for God had sent me to come on your radio show, your radio blog. To go in and to dial in on your Zoom yesterday, I said, God, you know, this is a wonderful thing. But as we do this, let us lift you up and let us see, you know, let us be able to be on display for you to see that miracle, sign, and wonder still exists because we're being led by you and God. Hearing the testimonies that you give, and I'm like, that's my Abba, that's my Daddy, hallelujah. And we're not we're hungry for Him, but we're not chasing that as to show off. You know what I'm saying, brother?
You said something yesterday that how all four of us on the live Facebook Live program, how we flowed well together like we knew each other for years. And yet, in reality, all of us had just met for the first time.
Just met.
But there was a flow there because of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Everyone who was in that program yesterday understands that they're servants. And because we understood that, we could serve the body as a whole. Am I making any sense?
As a whole.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally
and,
making
and
sense. Bro.
God showed up and God showed off. You know? I tell people,
yes,
Isaac, that here's what I believe is going to happen when this great awakening starts. I call it show and tell. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The true men and women of God are going to get up and show the power of God. And then tell people why. Oh yeah, Jesus did that. Yeah. Now that I think about it, he going in and heal people and do this and do that. Then he would tell them about the kingdom of God. So we have a really good example to follow. But I believe with all my heart that the days of these, you know, superstar preachers and these, you know, I don't want to mention names, okay? But those days are ending, and they're ending very, very quickly due to the fact that God wants not just you and I, you know, we don't have to have a title. God wants, we are one body in Christ. We have to function as one body in Christ. So what I can do and you can do, so can anybody else. The word says that those who believe, these signs will follow.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
he didn't say that apostle over there. He loves me, so the signs will follow him and him alone. No, that ain't what it says. It says for those who believe. I tell people all the time. Yes, I am blessed to have certain gifts, but they're not mine, they're his, and they were given to me to give away. But he's not a respecter of persons. what he has done for me, he'll do for you, he'll do for everybody who's listening today. People have a tendency to put themselves in it. Like, I hear it all the time. Well, I don't think I'm worthy, and I don't think this, and I don't think that, and I don't yada, yada, yada. It doesn't matter what you think, because it doesn't have nothing to do with you in the first place. Hello? The Holy Spirit is going to do what the Holy Spirit's going to do. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ. Period. All right, I ran.
Period.
You go ahead. I didn't mean to rant,
brother,
but I got into a rant. I'm sorry.
Look,
kind of
no,
sorry.
Brother,
not truly
no,
sorry.
No, hey. We know that we're being led by the Holy Spirit, and we're just downloading what He's given us, man. And I'm enjoying it. And I know that the people out there in the radio block, they're enjoying it as well, because, you know, you said it, edifying, exhorting, and strengthening, encouraging each other is what we're supposed to do, right? We're called
to,
hey, you've fallen, get back up. Hey, okay, you sin. Okay, did you repent and turn from that wicked way wholeheartedly? And God said, and you admitted to God, and if you sin against if you have an order against another brother, you went to get it right, right? Okay, so don't
Amen.
Hold yourself in condemnation. Don't hold yourself in slavery. God is forgiving you. Now forgive yourself. Lift yourself back up, right, brother? And this is how, you know, I learned a few years ago about sparring, okay? Sharpening, praying, affirming, and repenting. I don't know if you heard about that. But it's no specific order. It's just those are some steps that can help. We can help bring someone back into good standards with God as they go forward and repenting, right? Because a lot of believers these days don't believe. They've been taught that they don't have to repent. They're already forgiven. What in the world, right? We know repentance, we are supposed to do that immediately. And those that we heard, yes, sir.
What do you think repentance means?
I don't even think. I'm just being honest with you.
Go ahead.
I just know repentance is bringing us back into good standards with God and showing that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, He already cleansed us. When we accepted Him with our salvation, He cleansed us. But as we're going forward, we're gonna fall short. The word tells us, you know, show me somebody who haven't fallen short daily. Okay? We're gonna fall short, but what happens is we repent with bringing us back in righteousness standards with God, because He wants us to live holy in righteousness and righteousness in Him. So we're showing that I made a mistake. I'm really sorry. I will do my best not to do that again. And I'm paraphrasing with this portion of it. I'm going to do my best not to do it again. But because of your grace and your mercy, Father, that I'm able to see another day, to see another moment, another second. So it's bringing us back in right to the standard with God. I hope I answered that question correctly.
Okay.
I know that's Ike 101.
Not one bad. My answer to that question is simply this. Change your mind. Stop what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I do my very best not to sin, but I'm human.
Yeah.
I think this one, you know, sometimes people don't even realize they're sinning. I see people.
Right.
You know,
right.
Doing things that they have no idea is a sin. The way we treat each other, the way we talk to each other.
Come on. Yeah.
Sometimes we just get glib and just shoot off the top of our heads, but God tells us that we have to watch what we say. God tells us we have to love one another as we love ourselves. Now, I don't know about you, Isaac, but I really am pretty fond of myself. and I want myself treated pretty finely.
Yeah.
And I need to treat my neighbors that way. Yeah. Recently, over the past year,
brother.
God has impressed upon my heart and gave me a fine example of what he meant after he said it to me. He told me, he says, you've got to start looking at all people through the eyes of Jesus.
Come on.
Now, that's much easier said than done. I don't care how well you think your relationship with God is. Trying to look at all people through the eyes of Jesus is not that easy. It really isn't, because we have a tendency to want to judge people. We have a tendency to jump to conclusions. We have a tendency not to see the overall picture. I'm going to give a real quick testimony. I've done this same testimony so many times on this show, but it was such an example and such a lesson to me on what he meant. I'm going to make it as short as possible, but I was at a revival. There was this guy walking down the street, limping really, really bad. God told me to go talk to him. I said, okay. And as I took close to him, God said, be kind. Yes, Lord. And this man was talking cray-cray. And he was cussing. I mean, every other word was the Lord's name in vain. And it makes my spirit cringe when I hear people talk like that. But God said, be nice. So I talked to the man for a little while, and he finally walked on down the street, just still complaining, I need my $50. He was mad, boy. He was mad at the world, and he was cussing. And he walked away, and I went back up to the tent. And about 20 minutes later, this man came back. And the Lord had told me when I went down to talk to him that one leg was shorter than the other. So when he came back up, I said, the Lord said, you got one leg shorter than the other. He goes, yeah. I said, well, sit down. Let's look. It was 7 inches difference, at least. 6 to 7 inches. The biggest difference I've ever seen.
Wow.
And I've seen God grow out legs many times. Okay? And.
Come on, brother.
I was going to pray for him. I took some anointing oil, and I put a drop of anointing oil right smack in the middle of his forehead. And without a prayer being said, without a word being said, when Evangelist Brown and I looked down, those legs were even. We never even saw it grow out. Absolutely even. Not a word of prayer being said. Okay? And the man got up, and he walked away walking normal. And I didn't see him again. But about 2 weeks after that, Eugene Brown called me back up. He said, hey, you know that man we didn't pray for? I said, yeah. How am I going to forget that? That was amazing. Absolutely amazing. God healed him. We never said a word.
Glory
to God.
Back.
He said he came back. Now, this is the same cray-cray man who was not dressed well, who was talking crazy, who wasn't in his right mind, cussing like a sailor, came back. In his right mind, dressed correctly, praising God, and come back to worship the Lord and give him thanks for what God had done.
See,
what I saw was a crazy man taking my Lord's name in vain. What Jesus saw was a man who came back. That taught me. That was a hard lesson for me. I was like, wow. I'm beginning to understand.
Right.
I still don't understand it at all. But I do know that all of us, not just Ken, not just Isaac, we all have to start looking at each other through the eyes of Christ and not through the eyes of our own judgmental, I'm trying to search for a word that's polite.
dogmatic mindsets. I got a couple.
That's good enough. We'll accept that. Good. That's good. I like that. We'll take that. That's fine. Anyhow, go ahead.
Because,
keep talking.
Because here's the thing. This is what I learned, Ken. Picture this. You're in the military. And, you know, in the military, a lot of places we go, we don't have a fire department, so we have to learn how to fight fires. And picture this in your mind. Picture this in your mind. And radio world, you all picture this in your mind. you are in a room that had that have they have a window. They have windows. But you're filled with smoke. Black smoke. You can't even see your own hand in front of somebody. In front of your own face. If you waved it in front of your eyes right before you can touch your nose, you still couldn't see it. Picture this in your mind. It's dark. And just so happened, you can't see yourself out the room, but in your mind, you knew that door was 6 feet in front of you, but you can't see it. And you had someone, by the grace of God, that reached in and touched you and felt your hand and pulled you out the room right before you were starting to choke. And when you came out into a space where you now can see, your eyes can see this, you know, the smoke is gone and your panic mode is down because you think you were going to get choked out in that smoke and get burnt up. And you saw the vision, and there was someone that's not of your own color that saved your life. Would that matter?
No.
This is the same way we have to go forth in evangelizing. That's why we need the evangelist that's going to awaken this world as well, who's not going to be afraid to roll your sleeves up and go under the byways, highways, underneath the bridges, in the woods, because we have so many that's living in the woods and they are living in huts. And even in America, oh my God. If you can just picture yourself as someone that's not of your own color saving your life, just think about salvation. It's even greater.
Yeah, I've been telling people for years, you better be careful on how you treat each other, because that person may be holding your healing in their hands.
Come on.
Right? I'm colorblind, have been for years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I have over the years preached in a lot of black churches. Okay, and it's an honor to do so. By the way, I enjoy it.
Yes,
you know, because there's such a difference in cultures, but you have to. Like I said a minute ago, there is no denominational differences in heaven, and guess what? There's no racial differences in heaven either. We're all the same children of our God. All right, and
come on,
being a white preacher, I have experienced prejudice. You know, sometimes I go to these churches and they don't want this. They don't want that old white boy up there telling him anything. Only because he's white.
Man, come
okay?
on.
But there's also, I've been to churches where they have received me so warmly. It's been amazing. But this goes back to what I was saying earlier, Isaac. It's it's the stupid thinking. It's the stinking thinking.
Yeah.
We got to get away from all that. And for lack of a better word, and I'm not saying anybody, I'm not pointing this at people in particular. This is general as a statement. You got to stop being stupid when it comes to the things of God. You know, the Bible says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge.
Perish. Like
all right? We need to increase our knowledge and get to the point of understanding the heart of Jesus. And the heart of Jesus is unconditional love beyond measure for each and every one of us. It don't matter what your race is. It don't matter what your background is. It don't matter what you've been through. Okay? We all have testimonies. And before we run out of time, I know you've got a testimony I want you to share. But, you know, I was an alcoholic for 25 years. Okay? 25 years.
Glory to God.
He healed me. He cured me. I don't drink no more. I serve God. I am a life that's been changed by the grace of God. And, you know, We have to be careful.
Come on, brother.
On when we judge other people.
Brother.
Romans 14:4 says, who are you to judge the master's servant? To his own master, he's going to stand or fall. But God will hold him up, and he won't fall.
Hold him
up. We've got to start acting like Jesus instead of acting like this world. And unfortunately, a lot of the world has infiltrated the churches. A lot of stupidity is still going on in our churches today. But like I said at the beginning of this show, that's all. Like it or don't like it, it's going to change. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming soon. 36 years ago, the Holy Spirit gave me a sermon that I preached at my church. And I was telling my wife, and I was talking about it yesterday. And in that sermon, I saw Jesus standing on the threshold of heaven, looking down, going, Father, Father, I want my bride. And the Father said, soon, son, soon. That was 36 years ago.
Wow.
And I tell you right now, it's sooner now than it's ever been before. The Father is not going to deny the desire of Jesus' heart, and he wants his bride, and he is coming back soon. Heaven and hell are real, my friends. I want you to give me a testimony. This hour is going faster than I thought it would. My goodness, it's flying by. But just because I mentioned that heaven and hell is real, I have to mention this. If you're listening today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can determine your eternal destination. If you want to know if Jesus Christ is real, all you have to do is say, hey, Jesus, if you're real, come into my heart. Prove it to me. I admit I'm a sinner. We're all sinners, folks. And all you have to do is say, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on that cross. 3 days later, he rose again. And he saved us by his sacrifice upon the cross.
Yes.
Ask him in. Ask him. Okay, Jesus, if you're real, prove it to me. Come into my heart. And I'll serve you if you're real. And I guarantee you this. He will come into your heart. And you will know immediately that he is the living Son of God, because you will be a life that was changed. If he take an old alcoholic like me and turn me from being a drunk reprobate into a servant of God, he can do anything. If he can change me, he can change you. Ask him today. You don't have to be religious about it. Just ask him. He hears you. He knows your heart. Ask him then. Now, tell me about those two wrecks you had. We only have 7 minutes. So go ahead.
Yes, I will do. Back in 2004, 4th of July, I was on the going into the golf club on a Millington Naval Base in Millington, Tennessee, the Navy base in Millington, Tennessee. Sitting in the golf cart, me and my brother-in-law, and a tree limb fell on both of us. It broke my third and fourth vertebrae, broke my fourth and fifth vertebrae. Anything under the third vertebrae is supposed to be dead or paralyzed. We are both walking, running, jogging, lifting weights. Glory to God. 2009, and I passed out driving home to check on my dog right outside of Millington, Tennessee. And I blacked out going 35 miles per hour, hit a tree. Major accidents. Again, I was supposed to be dead or paralyzed. If the tree wasn't there, I would have went off into the lake on that truck accident and probably drowned and died. Because of God keeping his hand on me, he had a high school kid who saw my truck and called the ambulance. They had to fly me to the hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Head split open from the tree accident. Head split open. I woke up at midnight trying to get off the bed, glory to God. And the doctor told me to lay there. He had his hand. I didn't know it until afterwards. He had his hand in my head, cleaning out all the blood clots. Glory to God. But I'm telling you today that God kept his hand
on.
Fast forward to 2006, God told me to straighten up. I woke up both times praising him, and I was talking to everybody in the hospital both times, telling them about Jesus Christ and worshiping with those who believe with Jesus Christ right in my bedroom. From that point on, brother, I live for God. And even through that, I made mistakes. He helped me stop drinking as well. I too was an alcoholic. But because of God, we're both drinking the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Glory to God.
Come on, come on,
brother,
come
on. I'm telling you, brother, your brother on that truck accident, broken all ribs, punctured lung, scarred liver, and then on the tree accident, I had to learn how to walk again. I was paralyzed. I had to learn how to, because of God, he had me, brother, walking again, walking straight to him. See, people underestimate their testimonies when we tell them, but we're telling them because we know what we have been broken. We have been crushed because of him. But he can only heal us back completely. Man can't heal you. Grandma can't heal you. Uncle can't heal you. The preacher and the pastors can't heal you. The healing comes completely from Jesus Christ. All we can do is help escort each other back into the presence. God does the rest. He brings the light. We plant the seed. Some plant the seed, some water, some do both, but it's God who brings the light. So I'm telling you out there, allow the Holy Spirit to take you through the process. And all you have to do is one step at a time. Even us truly believers have to look ourselves back into the mirror at our face and not walk away from that mirror thinking ain't nothing wrong. We're even seeing ourselves the way Jesus seeing us through his eyes.
Amen.
That's how we have to see ourselves. But I'm telling you, we all have testimonies. I wrote my book, Lonely Walk with God. You can get that on my website, Amazon. The Lonely Walk with God is a true testimony. It's a healing and deliverance book. Thank you, brother, for letting me get that plug in. I almost forgot myself.
All right. Not a problem, book. Brother. Not a problem. Well, unfortunately, we are quickly running out of time.
Understand.
I do want to give the person who's been listening throughout the show an opportunity to participate a little bit. We don't have a lot of time. We only got a couple of minutes. But, again, the last 4 digits of the phone number is 0090. If you have anything you'd like to add, you can do that right now. That's 0090. If you don't say a word, and we'll just continue. But you're on the air if you want to be. All right. God bless you. We thank you once again for listening. Wow, man. Time went by fast. You know, that 2 hours yesterday went by quick, and this hour today is going by awful fast. My brother, I want to thank you so very much. I meant to say this at the beginning of the show, but you know, in our lives, we sometimes just meet people. And when we meet them, it's like,
come on.
We automatically know them. It's like, wow. It's like they've been friends forever. You know, the Bible says that he knew us before the foundations of earth were put into place. And I believe that there are people who were heaven. We were friends in heaven before we ever came here. And I consider you one of my heavenly friends, my brother.
Phil is mutual, brother.
All right. Well, we're going to have to ask you back again. Tell your wonderful wife, Apostle Victoria, that I said hello. She's on my list. Tell her, watch out. And I'm looking forward to ministering with you in the future. I do know we're going to do another healing thing. And as you were talking, I got this thought in my mind. We ought to do a live testimony thing, too. What do you think about that?
Yes.
Give people a chance
to
testify.
Come on, brother.
All right, we're out of time. We are out of time. Let me find my. There it is. God bless you. Thank you, folks, for listening to the Healing Light Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ken Burrow. Be blessed and be a blessing.
You have been listening to the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. To donate, go to the Healing Light Radio Show on Facebook, where you will find a link to donate. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing.